Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 419 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Great.
Fucking energised after a weekend of live football.
It was great to briefly catch up with the boys separately because someone, like, let's face it, I mean, if listeners of the show, people who've been to meetups in the past, if they wanted to characterise stepdad in a particular way, in one word, I think the word you'd use would be late. I was chatting to Real Dad between games after the Manly game, before the Broncos game, and we were just sort of standing behind the bay where we knew like he was. Stepdad literally had tickets in the same row as Real Dad, so we knew he wasn't there because we would have seen him. And so we're just chatting like, geez, that you know, the Penrith game, I mean, I can hear Welcome to the Jungle. I mean, there's pretty much fucking, the game's about to kick off in any minute and he's still not here. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I've fucking had enough anyway. I'm going to get some dinner. So I got killer and we walked off down Caxton Street and we were like pretty much past the Caxton. And then some fucking dude comes riding directly at me with a fucking electric scooter, one of those Lime scooters or whatever.
So good.
And I'm like, who's this cunt? And then a voice is kind of running straight at me. And then they're like, oh, here we go. It's fucking Jay. I was like, why aren't you at the game? Where's everybody else? Oh, I left my phone in the car, so I had to go back and get it.
we got halfway to the stadium. I realized I'd left the tickets in the car. So,
oh, the tickets?
The tickets are on my phone.
Yeah. So, what, you just left the rest of them outside the Wally Wanker statue or something?
Oh, they kept walking because,
yeah, right.
I figured one adult with three kids in tow wouldn't be much quicker than I could do the trip there and back. So,
Yeah, fair enough.
Quality idea.
It was fucking amazing. I forgot what it's like to go to live football matches when the stadium isn't full of cunt Broncos fans.
That was one of the main observations that I had, though. Like, it was when they announced the official crowd, it was like under 6,000 people or something. Mm. And I was just like, holy, I thought that Queensland, home of rugby league in, quotes, I thought that even this was, and this was a game where the home team was playing on the card. Mm. It wasn't like some of these ones that the Titans have had down there where there's just been, nothing to do with them. And like they have small crowds anyway, I get it.
But were the numbers capped?
But
75% of the capacity though, like they still could put like 37,000 exactly. or something in there, no problem. Mm. So it wasn't through capping. It was just, and maybe it was like a super cautious, like we're in a pandemic and you're getting nothing but bad news out of New South Wales. And, we had to change the rules. We had to wear masks the whole time we were in our seats and stuff. Maybe it was just some people were just like, look, I'm not going to risk it.
Mm.
And
there's a couple of non-footy related, one from Jay, a couple of proper pandemic moments, right? So Jackson went to get some food and he went to the bathroom and sent me a message going, I'm going to get some food. Do you want anything? So he comes back with food and I've got my mask on. And I open up my drink, go, oh, fuck, I'm not used to doing this. Anyway, so then half time in the Panthers game and I get to the end of the row, I'm standing up and thought, Jay's making his way, thought we'll have a quick little catch up. And he gets about three quarters of the way to me, fuck, forgot my mask, back to his seat.
It was great.
The key was mine is always wear it as like as a bracelet, just like two loops. I was looping under it and then stick. Oh shit, actually, as we were talking, I forgot to take it off from the school run. It's still there. Oh. Just leave it there and never forget it.
And shout out to all the new Panthers friends I made sitting around. And this is what I miss about live football when you can sit at your home ground.
Mm.
Like, sat down instant best friends with everyone in brown and white around you.
Yep.
And then never see him again. You know, you might run into him again in a game in 2 years, whatever it is. That atmosphere was what I missed. And also, like, Magic Round, like, in front of us, there was a guy, he was a Manly supporter, he was there with his girlfriend, was a Broncos supporter.
Yeah.
She took her medicine, at, like, on a King Levius level.
Yeah.
In terms of taking her medicine. It was absolutely fantastic. Was absolutely fed all night by the kids. and played her part brilliantly. It was all the best things about live football.
Yeah.
That just Broncos fans suck out of the experience.
Yeah.
So.
I had some more neutral people. I had a bunch of degenerate gamblers behind me that were clearly heavily invested in Tommy Turbo scoring a try. So when he finally did, they were really happy. But I mean, but this guy, I remember he was regaling his friends with his multi, and I mean, he was total degen shit because he was like, it was like Manly to win by, I was like, the overs in that game to be over 44. So they won that. He wanted Tommy to score a try. He got that. Then it was like another. He was going through all these another various fucking six legs across the world of sport, finishing in Joe Ingles getting 10 plus points in the Blues game. And I don't think Ingles got. I don't think he got. Did he get there?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if he made it
today.
No, yesterday. Yeah, last night in the game against Nigeria. Nigeria.
Oh, fuck.
I know he got 2 3-pointers, and so I know he had at least 6, but he was like atrocious when he was driving to the basket. So I don't know if he got the 10. So if that was the leg that killed him, I don't know. But I was sitting next to a two-time loser. He was a Ranger, West Tigers fan.
Oh fuck!
Wow.
Didn't know he was a West Tigers fan until Mamalo scored. He was very quiet about it, and he was like trying to keep it real. He was trying to. Then eventually, when he thought they were going to win, like when they got the second try, he's like. Then he started being a bit more overt about his Tigerness. But I said
so
to him,
he's a new Tigers fan.
Well, no, I think he's an old one that's just like just. Beaten down by the system, but I said, oh, so did you watch the documentary on Foxtel? And he's like, he was just like, gave me this sad look on his face, and he's just like, he said, I'm not going to do that to myself. I said, no, I'm like, I'm driving up the ratings for the show. I'm like, no, man, you'll fucking love it. Blah, blah, blah. I think I convinced him to watch it, but this guy was like, he'd been beaten down by a lifetime. Of West Tigers supported him. It just wasn't pretty.
Ouch.
I felt sorry for the cunt, but because like he was resigned, he knew no matter what they did, he knew that Manly was going to win and win easily at every stage, even when the Tigers weren't looking out of it. And when they did the burst they put on, then he's just like,
fuck. Well, that's good. We've just done 2 game reviews.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Done. The general vibe. We they got those Fox the Fox camera guys that sort of prowl the sideline and then they sort of look for their angle up through the fan to see like a full fan shot and they sort of set up there and the next time it crosses to them they've got, you know, a shot of fans going crazy. Mm. The guy set up in front of us a couple of times and like Killer was just like fucking pointed us on, you know, I want to get on TV. And the guy, the degenerate multi guy behind me, him and his friends going, yeah, we need to get on TV. And one of his mates goes, do a shooey. And so he's like, yeah, I'll do a shoey. So he pulls his shoe off and he goes, cameraman. And the guy looks up and he goes, fucking point it over here. I'm going to do a shoey. And he got the beer and he had his thing. And then the cameraman goes, nah, you got to leave your mask on, mate.
Oh.
Fuck off. But, the crowd or sideline thing, that nice memory I had was in the first half, the Manly players were the ball boys and on our side of the field. But in the second half, it was the West Tigers players with the ball boys on our side of the field. And one of them was Glenn's mate, Zach Sini, with his strawberry blonde mullet. And he's walking down the sideline. I was like, ah, oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm going to call out to him. And so he's walking back from something. And I go, Sini! Flick us your mullet. And he sort of just ignored it. I'm going, Zach, flick your fucking mullet. And he does like the Pantene fucking shake. And the whole bay's like, yeah.
Now, I need someone to confirm, speaking of the ball boys, I need someone to confirm that, well, not necessarily just because it was a ball boy, but does Luke Lewis's kid play for the Panthers in some capacity, whether it's in Reggie's or Junior's? There was one of the Panthers,
you know,
ball boys. he looks
the one with all the tats.
Yeah, but his face is fucking, you know, Luke Lewis.
Tats are something you get done afterwards. It's not that if a father has tats, the son comes out with tats.
You fucking idiot. I'm talking about the facial features of the guy.
The cunt had a mask on. Luke Lewis has two eyes. He has two eyes. What are we doing here?
Why are you the way you are?
Well, you sent me that text, and I've shown all the people around me, and they're like, fucking no.
It's supposed to do that.
Yourself, fucking Panthers fans. Fuck me dead. Dead ringer for Luke Lewis, I'm telling you.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I've never ever seen another person with blonde spiky hair. It's probably him.
Fuck.
Might have cancer painful, in his neck too.
Painful cunt.
He's got his son Levi. You know, perhaps he plays in some sort of junior capacity at Panthers, considering
was
he's
he seven?
3 years old.
Yeah, okay.
He's born on the 29th of March, 2018.
He's a late bloomer, Luke Lewis. Jeez.
Well, he's going to get an early start with Luke Lewis, so he's going to be able to do that, you know, uninterrupted length of career situation we always talk about, premiership bookends. He's just going to get a lot earlier start. But yeah, I tell you, I ended up going up to Plan B for a feed after the game.
How was it?
Killer got pretty much exact. I mean, their menu's far more expansive than Fat Billy Jack's and the chicken.
So for those that don't know, there was a spicy fried chicken place up the top of Caxton Street that we spent a lot of time at a couple of Magic rounds ago.
Like consecutive meals, like,
so
like
three consecutive meals, all Magic round.
Yeah,
so much so that, like, I have a photo of the aftermath of my asshole.
I think I've got a photo too because you texted it to me.
Yeah, I've been accused of having ISIS beheading videos on my device. It's that bad.
Yeah.
Did you legitimately take a photo of your own anus and send
bleeding,
it?
Bleeding, yeah, yeah.
And send it to Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Wars and, you know, several other people.
I've been to the doctors to, like,
say...
You've
been gone for a while, Glenn.
Can you please look at this? You're going to the wrong doctor.
You need to go to a doctor that tells you what the fuck is wrong with your head. Your ass.
But this is the thing. Do you know how hard it is to get a doctor to look at your ass? Like, I've gone in and said I'm having incredible pain and bleeding out of my anus. And they're like, okay, try a bath with Epsom salts. Wow. And I'm like, no.
That's going to sting.
I don't think you realize. And so I'm showing them the photos and I'm like, this is what I'm dealing with. Fucking Hippocratic fuckwits.
But yeah.
The GP's just questioning his life choices.
So anyway, that restaurant closed down right before things started to lock down with COVID there.
Mm.
And it sort of reemerged.
Actually,
the exact same space.
We had lunch on their last day of trading. Right
when
before
it was kind
the first
of risky.
Rona lockdown.
Yeah, it was, and I remember, like, for 2 weeks I was kind of sweating after that thing.
That's
like, you know,
right.
It was the last day of business that Fat Belly's had.
Yeah.
And we had to go in there and pay homage and have it one last time. And, like, we had the kids with us, both of us. And then I was like, for 2 weeks I was kind of like, fuck. Because, like, that was Sunday afternoon. Like, I kept the kids home from school on the Monday.
Yep.
And that was the week leading up to, you know, the 5 weeks of lockdown or whatever we had for school, you know, remote learning and that. And so I remember for 2 weeks I was just like, fuck. Because you didn't know what the deal was back then. You didn't know what – that was right at the peak of, like, the, you know, the lockdown hysteria the first time around.
Yeah.
And so I was like counting down the 2 weeks going, all right, cool. Looks like we got away with that one. Because there was no social distancing in that fucking restaurant. It was, like, packed. Fucking packed. But yeah, so I went there and it was empty. Like, we were the only ones in
really?
There on Saturday night, yeah. And so I got, like, the Fat Belly Burger. They had the Fat Belly Burger, which is, like, you know, the hot chicken one. And I asked for it hot, but even so, it probably would have been only, what, the medium of the old place was.
It wasn't, okay.
It tasted like it, but it wasn't super hot. And Killer had like tenders, like you would have got at Fat Belly Jack's as well.
Yep.
And yeah, and he loved them and said they were great and they were the same, you know, sort of thing. So it was, you know, sort of, but they got a bunch of other, like tons of other burgers and, you know, beef stuff. I mean, Fat Belly's was great because it was just like the one thing, like just, it was just Nashville hot chicken and that was that, you know.
I will say that both of you are actually, you had a couple of moments, you know, a moment or so each, but you were both fairly subdued with smashing me in front of my child. So I appreciate that. It's quite respectful, even.
Yeah. Look, you know, when you go, like, I was happy to get away with a good win. I mean, there was some stressful moments in the, you know, in the first half of that game. I mean, it eased off somewhat by half time.
Cool. Good to see you making up for it now. That's great, Nate.
Anyway, let's get into the game the games that happened before it. And first one being the Raiders. 12 defeated the Eels 10 down there at Hope Solo in front of a bumper crowd of 2,566 on Thursday night. The Raiders tries to Corey Harawira Naira and Jordan Rapana, Croker two conversions, and the Eels tries to Dylan Brown and Mike Sivo and Gutherson one conversion.
Starting to get a little bit interested in what the Raiders are going to be doing as they turn their season around. It could really be the momentum team heading into the finals, I think, and we all know what their ceiling is and what they're capable of being, given they made the grand final a couple of seasons ago. I think this was a pretty impressive, grinding sort of win, albeit Parramatta, or both teams were under strength. But, you know, even more impressive is the fact that they won despite those injuries. Whiten and Whitehead both missed the game. Papali'i was concussed in the first half and didn't return. For Canberra, I thought I was pretty impressed that they stuck with it and ground out a close win.
Canberra seemed to do that though, and it's a point Nate made, you know, originally I think about Trent Barrett coach sides, that they need something in the game to get them into it.
Mm.
Cast your mind back to Origin, and I remember making the comment that, well, Canberra without its stars, really what's left? But they wrote that was one of the better games they'd played without their representative players.
Mm.
So I think they're in the same vein, and this may just be, you know, a thing that Ricky Stewart is particularly skilled at, is getting them up for that underdog performance, getting them up for that, you know, no one believes in you, everyone's laughing at you, you know, go out there and prove them wrong sort of game.
Yeah.
But to Canberra, they got some good moments out of this, and I had a corporate psychologist explained this to me once, that very often in sports, and his history had been in sports, they use, and fuck, I forget the term of them. What are those things when you're like rock climbing that you pin into the wall? Like if you're going up freehand, you climb up a bit, you stick a peg in, tie your rope to that. So if you fuck up, you only fall down that much, whatever it is.
Yes. Sticky picks.
Sticky. Them.
For the purpose of this discussion.
So the Raiders, Ricky Did Sticky you make Picks.
A note of that? I am there, yeah. Sorry, please continue.
Games like this where they can have a first half where they were gritty, you know, under some pressure, score in the second half, then have Parramatta come back at them but hold them out, you know. In their own head, no one's telling them, oh, look, you know, if someone had converted a little better or a kick here or there, you wouldn't have been so lucky. But those moments are valuable to a team, especially that had been a little bit mentally fragile in second halves.
Mm. I think it was just desperation. Both teams weren't great offensively, but Canberra, just a desperate performance in defence.
Yeah.
And that was, and it was kind of
right up until the last play.
Yeah, and that was kind of the basis of what they, you know, were doing when they got to the grand final. Mm. I mean, they were, you know, amazing defense that season. And so, look, if that's the bedrock of what they're going to start on, you know, and the attack starts to build off the back of that, then, You know, I haven't had a look at what their run's like on the way home, but they certainly put themselves in the frame to be one of those teams down there in 7 or 8, where there is only, like, you only probably need to go on a, you know, 2 or 3 game run.
Yeah.
To get yourself in there.
Mm.
And I mean, they are in there now on the basis of this win, I think. Socials.
We ready for the socials?
I am. I am so ready.
Sorry, I'm at the wrong end. Or I shouldn't say wrong end. I'm in the wrong email box.
Are you at the end that's bleeding that a doctor doesn't want to look at?
Oh, mate, I've been in that end for a long time. Long, long, long time.
Sorry, no, they got to 9th. Sorry, they didn't get into the 8th. My bad.
On the socials, in the Facebook group, Josh said, Nutho is a fucking fraud. The cunt will not take a kick return hit up. Joey said, Parramatta might as well wear a Tigers jersey. Frustrating. The ultimate fucking insult. Ian said, Jared Croker is now the equal of Jonathan Thurston.
His attempt on Blake Ferguson, who was running the ball back from a kick return, where Ferguson then blasted through him and set up Dylan Brown's try.
Mm-hmm.
It was, for someone that's played that much first grade, that was a pretty fucking ordinary attempted tackle.
Mm. Michael said, how have the all-time faders turned into a gritty, grinding, old-school footy team? And Nat said, did Tommy Starling apply Kane Evans' wrist strap? Little fella was folding cunts all night. the G-Train on Twitter said, so Croker is now a better player than Thurston ever was. Oh, the disrespect. The fucking disrespect. And Joseph Palazzi on Twitter said, Nathan Brown is a perfect player to represent the Eels as a whole. Frunz is a hard man, but when someone steps up to him, he lays down and spreads his cheeks faster than Jay does for Luai. That is very fucking fast. On to the next one.
Okay, the Roosters 28 defeated the Newcastle Knights 8 at Sunshine Coast Stadium Friday evening. The Roosters double to Tupanua. Manu, Tupou, Lachlan Lamb, Angus Crichton with tries. Teddy, 2 conversions. The Knights 8 came through a try to Jacob Saifidi and a conversion to Clifford and a penalty goal to Clifford.
Thought James Tedesco showed that, unlike State of Origin, doing it all in a Roosters jersey is quite an effective strategy. He had a fucking outstanding game.
Yeah.
It's fucking everywhere. Competitive first half. And then a Roosters clinic in the second half. The Knights' intensity dropped in that second half. Not for the whole 40 minutes, but it was like the Roosters sensed it and lifted right as they realised that the Knights had dropped their guard a little bit, and that was that. They just put some plays on. The Knights weren't up to it defensively. It weren't physical enough, and that sort of blew the game open, and the Knights couldn't recover.
Yeah, and I mean, the Roosters were smart when they realised things that worked, like Tupanua trampling out wide. And where the Knights just weren't up, that is what they weren't up to it, and it's unfortunate that both sides, you know, has obviously the Roosters' injuries are well documented, but the Knights, I think they got some players out there that just aren't, unlike the Roosters, I think they got some players that probably weren't ready to step up.
Yeah,
you know,
it's again, the Roosters have done exceptionally well in bleeding these young players. And that's by the fact of the elder statesmen they've got around them. You know, other clubs don't tend to do such a good job. Nigel in the Facebook group said, Teddy, nowhere near where he was 2 years ago and still light years ahead of 95% of the competition. Yeah, it's true. Brendo said, Newcastle are 0-5 against the Roosters in leg injuries in the last 2 games. Ross said, did I say last week we are by far the worst team on the last tackle? We have reached a new low. I'd had a couple of Newcastle fans come back to me and they didn't get it. Like they said, yeah, okay, it happens occasionally, but they didn't have this thing about them being a terrible, terrible six tackle team. Anyway, Isaac said, Knights have 2 defensive modes, scramble and crumble.
That's funny.
Oh, God. And Winston said, Chook started slow, but the last 20 minutes was a whitewash. Knights cannot do an 80 minutes. Hell, they struggle to do 30.
Mm.
It's us.
All right. The Storm, 20. Defeated the North Queensland Cowboys, 16, up there in the abattoir. A good crowd, just under 15,000 in attendance. The Storm, a double to Josh Adokar. Tries also to Justin Ollman, Remus Smith, Nico Hines, two conversions. The Cowboys 16 came through tries to Cohen Hess, Kyle Felt, and Kane Bradley, and two conversions to Drinkwater.
Storm.
And I tell you, the buzz on this game, it was like when they dropped fucking old mate back to fullback for this game. It was just like
Granville.
It had all the makings of like 60, like just almost match fixing.
Yeah.
But fucking the Cowboys, man, credit to their defense.
They were tenacious.
They stuck it out for the full game and they gave themselves a real chance.
Yeah, I thought the Storm were clinical, and as I said, the Cowboys were very tenacious and showed a lot of heart and effort. In the end, class prevails. The Storm, you know, put on enough classy plays to get the job done just for Melbourne. We've spoken about Nico Hines a lot, and he's obviously going to the Sharks, but he gets better every week, and he's very classy, and I think his toughness is probably a little bit underrated, but it remains to be seen how he's going to handle that Sharks environment compared to the benefit that he's had of being in the Storm system. And that's going to be a critical part of his development over the next couple of seasons as to how he adjusts to that. There's going to be a whole lot more expected of him when he pulls on a Sharks jersey rather than being a guy doing a job in a Storm jersey. There's no denying his skill, and I think he's certainly got it in him to go to a much higher level than where he's right at the moment. But whether the Sharks are the club to bring that out of him is... I don't know that I'm convinced of that.
It could be said that it's the short amount of time he's spent in the Storm system that may be the best indicator that he will be okay.
Mm.
If you look at people...
Not a full indoctrination.
Well, you know, you get good at it. You get used to what they do. You get used to doing what you need to do in that environment. But if he's only spent, you know, a year and a bit in first grade seriously, then that may be the saving grace, I guess, for the Sharks in introducing him to their system.
Mm. There's a lot of moving parts in the Sharks thing there too. You know, they've got a new coach and a bunch of new players are going in there, and so look, you know, take time anyway. I mean, like being in a very well-oiled system, even with player turnover, like just a well-oiled system like the Storm allows him to do what he does without the pressure of him having to be the guy to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like the, you know, now Pappenhausen is coming back into the side, and then, you know, you got Hughes, Munster, you know, Cheese. Like, he's, the requirement for him to be the guy is so low at the moment.
Yeah.
So he can just do what he wants. He can just do what he wants to do and just play what he sees. Whereas in the Sharks, on the other hand, it's him. The hopes are going to be behind him. And then what are you dealing with? You got like Tracy and like a year of Moylan, and
yeah, you're, you know, right.
It's a cliff.
He's got a burden.
Yeah.
Nasty. In the Facebook group, Joey. Whoop. No, not Joey. Fuck. Having an ordinary night on the socials. I'm all over the shop. He said, who taught defence to Tom Dearden? Jesus, stop rushing up.
That was fucking atrocious.
And there were lots of comments about it.
He got burned like twice in a row, didn't he, pretty much?
Yeah.
Fuck, Dearden is lightning fast off the mark. The speed he gets off the defensive line to open a hole is really something to watch. Alistair. The puppy looks absolutely rattled, terrified of contact. I think his career is over. Anyone else get that vibe?
I was concerned when he was he made the tackle in the corner, and there was knees in his face. as the tackles. But I was like, that's even if it's minimal contact for where he's at, it has to be a psychological thing.
Yeah,
and he's under a guy's knees in a tackle. I'm just like, fuck.
Mm.
And I think it may have just been because of, you know, what we know has happened and the large amount of time it's taken him to come back into the game. But, like, it just felt like every fucking tackle he took was, like, high contact. Like, you're just sort of holding your breath and you're, what the fuck's going to happen?
Mm.
And if we're thinking it...
He's thinking it.
I suspect he's thinking it.
That's it.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a professional sportsman, so maybe he can compartmentalize and... Yeah, he's fine because he's feeling the impact.
Super Grover said, I've calmed down a bit. No Munster or Dale, and Paps coming back and Nico going to six, dynamic changes. Both lost tries in the first half to hashtag insert obstruction call here. Cowboys line speed was ridiculously good and put pressure on, but that all-important word momentum was shattered through complete incompetences with the whistle. The fuck is with kissing Bradley's dick scoring twice off a foul play? P.S. Isn't Bradley another West Tigers they let go?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, me either.
That first try was so fucking hard done by. I mean, like, it is one of those black and white letter of the laws, and because of there was so much inconsistency in the way that obstruction, you know, tries were allowed and disallowed via obstruction, they had to make a black and white rule, and as a result, that try that he scored that would have been his first try was disallowed. Fair enough.
Yep.
That one that fucking, who was it that scored in the Storm and ran behind? It was Christian Welsh, went through the line, and then I think it was Ollam that scored off the pass, but they were saying that it was a cheeser passing? Yeah. How the fuck is that an obstruction when Welsh was through the line full? If that had have happened on halfway and who was it that scored the try? That would have scored the try. I can't remember.
If that exact same play, and then it's a regulation hit up, and the guy makes 8 meters, and he gets tackled and plays the ball, it's play on.
I mean, like, Welsh was through the fucking line completely. It wasn't like some obstruction where he opened up a hole.
Mm.
Like, it was one of the worst decisions I've seen.
Mm.
It's fucking terrible.
It was poor.
But, you know, they both, and I guess the Storm would maybe be more hard done by in that respect, because the Cowboys one was correct to the letter of the law, and the Cowboys got that one back later with that forward pass to where Kane Bradley scored the try, and it was like, you know, way forward. So, you know, but yeah, it wasn't great refereeing. It was really indecisive on the ground. Who was it? Was it Chechen? Was the referee on the field?
Yeah.
He was really indecisive on the field, and then I think he had Perenara in the box, who's just fucking hopeless. Or was it Ashley Klein? Well, I think it might have been Perenara, who's just fucking hopeless as well. And it just was, you know, from the top down, it was just terrible officiating.
Hmm. Nasty. On to the next one.
Was that it for the socials? Okay, so the Rabbitohs, 60, defeated the Warriors, 22, at Sunshine Coast Stadium. Another good crowd there too, like just over 7,500. The Rabbits, 60, came through tries too. A double to Thomas Burgess. Jackson Paulo, Cameron Murray, Cody Walker, Kalon Matangi, Latrell Mitchell, all with tries. Mansour with the double, and Jaden Sua with the double. Reynolds, 7 conversions. Latrell got 1. And the Warriors, 22, came through tries to DWZ, Reece Walsh, Marcelo Montoya, Cody Nikorima, Reece Walsh, 3 of 4 conversions.
Feels like the Warriors have packed it in.
Yep, 100% have.
And further amplified by the fact that RTS is now retired and leaving early.
Yeah.
As announced today.
And I don't know if that's amplified. I think that's like another. That's just another symptom, the fact that that's...
Mm.
Allowed to happen quite a few weeks out, you know. I mean, there's still what a good another, you know, like, you know, 6 games is there, so
yeah,
it's a decent amount of time. Yeah, decent amount of time there to, you know, it's a very early departure.
I just think that at times in this game, their body language and their effort and willingness to put the shoulder into their work through the middle, which is fucking dangerous because that's where South. That's where the rot starts with South Sydney. If you're soft in the middle, the, you know, Burgess and those Matungi and those guys will get quick play the balls, flows into Cook, into Walker, Latrell, and you end up with 60, as they did. So this is effectively a training run at times for South. And Cody Walker had a great afternoon. I think it was probably a game that they used to sharpen some of their skills, which will hold them in good stead in the run to the finals. But never fucking worried, never really tested, and pretty disappointing from the Warriors in the end.
Yep, I would agree.
Mm. On the socials, Rishi said Mascara Walsh realised that if he's complaining to a ref about something instead of defending his line, he can't rack up another defensive error. Fucking ouch. Riggs said, catching the score after not watching the game, my first thought is that the 22 confuses me more than the 60. That's not a bad take. Dan said, seems like Souths have planned their D around just not having to do it. Hold on to the ball, score tries, and don't give it back. If the opposition get the ball, let them score, but don't give it back again. Cunning plan. Winston, as Warriors are a great team on paper and the defensive integrity of a wet paper bag. Oh,
got fucking coronavirus. Shit is real.
That's it. On to the next one.
On Saturday, the mighty Manly Sea Eagles 44 defeated the West Tigers 24 at Suncorp Stadium. Manly side a hat trick to Morgan Harper, a double to Daly Cherry Evans, Lachlan Croker, Tommy Turbo, and Dylan Walker all with tries. Garrick 6 conversions. Tigers 24 threw a double to Ken Marmalo, Dewey and Little with the other tries. Dewey 4 from 4 conversions. What say you, Glennie? What do you say for yourself?
Plenty to say about the other games. I thought you might want to kick us off there, big dog.
Well, I was just curious of your take, because I was actually pretty filthy about this game. wasn't happy with it at all. There were some good moments. Obviously, whenever we had the ball, we just scored. That's just the way it was. But wasn't happy with the defense in the first half. And it was just one of those games where it just felt like they were just a little bit half-assing it. And I'm not sure if it was part of Desi's plan, you know, leaving Kepi and who else was it? He barely used two players. It was like he was trying to run the whole game with, like, you know, two less guys on the bench. To what end? I'm not sure, like, whether he was testing something out or, you know, I mean, Aloye's first game back. So I don't know whether he was trying to, like, test, you know, just test his fitness or readiness for, like, the games that count coming up. Or
he
what
played
he was doing,
solid minutes.
He did play solid minutes.
He was pretty good.
He was not too bad. I mean, like the for me, I was filthy about the 24 points, and I was filthy about there was some defense with Ola Kawatu sort of around the middle, over towards the towards the right hand side in the first half. It just wasn't good enough. They did turn that around though, you know, leading up to half time, and that's probably what the turning point in the match was. I think it was 12-10, I think, to the Tigers at the time, and then the Tigers had like 5 consecutive sets attacking, and when that was repelled, I think Manly took 4 tackles on their next set to score, and then they went back to back and scored straight away after the kickoff, and so that turned you know 10 to 12 you know, deficit into a halftime 20-12 lead, and all the momentum, received the kickoff in the second half, did the same thing again in the first 10 minutes and scored another couple of tries, and at that point the game was effectively over.
Yeah,
and the Tigers went back into their Tiger shell.
That patch before halftime pretty much killed the Tigers' momentum. You could see that they, you know, after the try where Tommy Turbo, Tommy Taliao missed Turbo fucking horribly one on one.
Yep.
That one was the one where they literally dropped their heads, and I could you could see it, and I was like, oh fuck, halftime couldn't come quick enough.
Almost as if they needed them to stop the game.
Stop the fucking game. I think we tried, you know, they tried to hang in. They were outclassed, willing to admit that. It was a tale of two Toms. Turbo was again, fantastic. Talao was fucking poor. He did cop a knock, but wasn't HIA'd and proceeded to get worse as the game went on, which was pretty disappointing. This is his second game back, playing in his rightful position, his preferred position of right center, and he was fucking atrocious. Pretty comfortable. This game was a stretch to win, but they were competitive for a large part of that first half, and I think when that try came, and then when they went back to back, they dropped their heads and they didn't quite recover. In the end, Eagles pretty impressive. I don't know that they, you know, as you alluded to, Nate, I don't think they were anywhere near their best and probably didn't really need to be, but I think Dewey showed a few more signs as well. That six is, it just makes the most sense.
Realistically, it has to be, right? He has to be the sixth long-term going forward.
It just seemed, to me at least, and I'm willing to admit we're coming into Magic round where I thought playing him in the centres was fucking outrageous. He did an adequate job there, but
then he starred in that game of Magic round where you smashed Newcastle too, correct, which made it worse.
But he just needs to be six. He needs to have his hands on the ball. You know, his kicking game and the bombs and stuff like that, it's just far more effective there. I do think that one-on-one teams believe that they can get at him, which is something he's going to have to develop because he does have a tendency to miss a one-on-one tackle. He's not alone in the Tigers ranks, let's be honest, but he just brings so much, and you know, this his coming of, you know, coming to the fore for the Tigers this year and showing in what at times has been a pretty fucking challenging season, showing such leadership qualities and really doing for a young player that hasn't played a stack of first grade, showing, you know, a willingness to put his hand up. You contrast that to Luke Brooks, who still is quiet as a fucking church mouse and has played 150 games. So
yeah,
you know, Dewey's
still just Brooks has was that. good when you guys were good in this game. Luke Brooks was. Good.
Brooks had a horrible game. I'm not saying, and he's had, to be honest, he's had in this last sort of stretch. He has been a long way from our worst player.
Yeah.
But you're just at this stage of his career and the amount of first grade he's played and the expectations for him to be unleashed every fucking season, you'd expect to show a bit more leadership.
Yeah.
My 2 cents.
Yeah. No, the other disappointing factor for me was, I mean, a pleasing thing was we didn't let Noffa get a junk time try against us. but it was also really disappointing that we didn't physically abuse Noffa. And, you know, most of it, well, you're talking about Tommy Talau, but most of it was down the other side anyway, you know, like, so, through Homoli, and then, you know, obviously Morgan Harper got a hat trick, and, you know, Daly's tries were either, one of them was sort of split up the middle, you know, on the left-hand side, but otherwise they were all coming down that other side. But I can tell you almost exactly how long this was a contest, because I remember for the first time it's ever fucking happened. Since I've had an Apple Watch for probably, seven or eight months now. And for the first time ever, I feel a buzz on my arm when Garrick knocked the ball on about 5 metres out, and that was the commencement of the Tigers getting five sets in a row. I had to look back to see the time of the game and, like, you know, go back and measure the time when it was and everything to figure out exactly what it was, that moment there. And I fucking feel this buzz on my arm, and I look at it, and there's like a red screen on my fucking phone, and it's like
cardiac arrest.
Yeah, it's like your heart rate is abnormally high, and you haven't done any physical activity for over 10 minutes. So what the fuck, dude? I was like, okay. Good to see that shit works. Obviously, I was fairly stressed at that point of the game, but and then it plummeted shortly after, of course. But
how good on the socials, John said, nothing gives me greater pleasure than watching Noffa catch a forward pass and seeing his face turn from joy to disappointment. Ouch.
Yeah, that was a moment.
Conan said, down 44-18 with 10 minutes left. Just remember, the West Tigers are always in a game.
Turned it into 44-24.
Mm. Always in a fucking game.
Hayden said, a fucking under-12s team would run better attacking lines than these fucking useless cunts. Fuck me dead. We offer nothing in attack from set pieces. It always goes behind the lead runner every time. Easy read and stops the attack right there. Glennie, what do you do?
It's just a kicking game, isn't it? I mean, that's where all the danger comes from.
If you're the attacking coach of the Tigers, Glenn, what do you do?
Kill myself.
No, you're a fresh hire.
Yeah, you're not responsible for this.
You're okay. Well, you set a structure, and you, for me, I think the attacking kicking game needs to be more creativity there. Luke Brooks with an end over end bomb. If it goes to Dewey, at least it's a lottery. If he puts it up and it's a spiral bomb and he hits it right, it's a lottery.
Yep.
But teams are getting better and better all the time at taking those. So
yeah,
it's becoming a lottery that's heavily favoured, so to speak. The dice are stacked in the defending team's favour. There's not enough movement. It's far too predictable for me. And I don't know that the playing group that we have at the moment. So you say I'm the attacking coach. Well, I need to have a word in the fucking ear of the people that are doing the recruiting and say, I need a little bit more to work with, please, sir. Because we've got two pretty young centres. One's played two games. Taliao hasn't played a huge amount of first grade. Pauga had, I thought he had, offensively, had some good moments.
He looked fairly elusive
when he was given a bit of space. He had, showed some feet and a good fend and quite, he's obviously quite strong. There's just the shape and the structure is far too predictable for me.
They're far too slow as well. I mean, even you could see in that first half, the Tigers were running from my left to right, and when they're spreading it towards Noffa's wing, it was coming towards me, and you could see they had the numbers, but they were just so fucking slow and indecisive about the interchange of passing.
Yeah,
it was really easy for Manly to slide across, and then Talau or Noffa Lumra would get it, and they try and run around back inside, and then they're sort of kind of like Teddy in Origin 3. They're just sort of propping. They try and palm a guy off, and like nothing's happening, and the defense has just encircled them and swarmed on them, and it just dies.
Yeah,
you know. It's just like slow motion sort of shit, you know?
Mm. Nasty.
But bless them for their slow motion shit.
That's it. James, with maybe my favourite tweet of the round, says, being a West Tigers fan feels like I'm in a therapy group run by my own rapist. Which was quickly usurped by Earthboy75 on Twitter. Who said, 50,000 West Tigers fans take to the streets in Sydney yesterday to say stop the game.
Somebody punched a horse.
Yeah, except there must have been there must have been 50,000 Tigers fans plus the Gold Coast Titans attendance counter. I'm not sure it was anywhere near that number. The Panthers 18 defeat the Broncos 12 Suncorp Stadium right after the previous game. The Panthers tries to Crichton, To'o and Staines. A 2-point field goal to Dylan Edwards, a conversion to Matt Burton, and a penalty goal to Stephen Crichton. The Broncos 12 tries to Hetherington and Bullenmore with Osako 2-of-2 conversions. It's a strange old game, this one.
Not if you understand the one simple law of physics that this game was governed by.
Panthers versus Brisbane at Suncorp.
Panthers play like absolute rat shit when they play the Broncos up here.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you know, we've said it. It's happened, what, the last three games, maybe?
Yep. Yeah, that's it. And, well, even think back to that year that you and I went to the finals game at Suncorp.
Yep.
There was a game that Corey Oates got killed.
He died.
Yeah. By kick
out. He actually died. I don't know who's using him now. Someone's working the controls. I mean, because he died. he literally died directly in front of us.
We saw that. We heard
the impact.
Yeah.
It was like a fucking... It was like a car accident. One of those sickening things I've fucking seen.
In this game, our energy was down. And I remember, again, it was the game last year. It was almost a turning point in that it was by far the worst game of their season. This one wasn't a starker contrast, so it wasn't that it was so obviously underneath where they've been performing in terms of form. And there were also some excuses for it with the amount of players they had out. But there was very little enthusiasm in defense. Like, they missed more than 60 tackles in that game. And that team had absolutely prided itself on its defensive integrity for the majority of this season. And so for them to be there, they're tired, they're worn out. There's something there. You don't miss those tackles just overnight. You don't turn into that sort of team. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is something broken. It definitely means that there's some work to do.
Complacency, maybe?
Maybe. That might be it.
Which is surprising, given you would expect that as a team they would understand that there's going to be some element of dip in their performance, given there's no Cleary.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, again, he's not out there making 65 tackles a game.
No. And he's not missing 60 either.
That's it. And I get it. There's that thing that, because, you know, if he's there, you're more dominant in attack, you have to do less defense, yada, yada, yada. There's all of that stuff. But that's something that the team needs to sort out. They're going to go through more changes. You know, they're losing Fish for a little while. He's obviously going away for the birth of his child. Mm.
Does Pangai come in now?
Pangai's not going to be available for a little while. So it's not like he comes straight in.
Mm.
But the big one as well in this game, and probably more so of a reason for a lot of the defensive lapses, was Isaiah Yeo, yet again, shows just what an underrated player he is in what he takes out of that team when he's not there.
Brisbane were clearly up for the contest, I thought, as well as Penrith being down. You know,
especially in the first half, Brisbane were up for it, and they didn't come out in the second half. Like, there was that lapse, and that's what cost them the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Penrith sort of struck, you know, on both wings fairly quickly after halftime, and it looked like, you know, at that point it was going to be, you know, maybe they would sort of ramp up into gear and blow them out. But you know, to their credit, they switched back on.
Yeah, I feel like Penrith played a grand sum total of 3 sets of 6. As Penrith, in air quotes.
Mm. Yeah,
and when they did, the real disparity between the two sides, even with no Cleary, was fucking evident.
Well, I mean, those tries they scored down the wings, I mean, like, they were like the ones where the guy strolls across the line.
Yeah, exactly.
With no danger of being,
you
know, touched, let alone tackled.
That's it. Mm. Again, they've got it in them. They've still got it in them. But there's something that needs to be switched back on in terms of, like, you remember the Roosters game when they absorbed a whole bunch of pressure and the Roosters scored 2 tries and they just took it and took it and took it. Then, okay, it's our turn. And then just went and absolutely blew them out. That seems to be gone. That focus of, okay, now as a group, it's time to knuckle down. It's time to get this done. And they all seem to be firing at slightly different times. So I think it's more about cohesion going into the back end of the season.
It's probably handy to get this out of their system now with...
Well, yeah, exactly. Get it out
6
now.
6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, correct. Finals and correct.
Sharp.
They were literally one Brody Crofting away from Golden Point. Do you reckon he was close enough that he could have scored that try himself before he popped that stupid 100%. Fucking offline? My first thought
surely
was,
surely momentum, he just slides or bounces or
yeah. I mean, my first thought for like, you know, live, I was like, oh no, he's short, you know, had to be done. But then you look at that sort of angle from his left, and you're like, fuck, like he looks like he would have landed short of the line, but surely he's bouncing or something, getting a piece of the chalk, you know.
Maybe if he didn't have tiny little midget arms.
Yeah, maybe.
He would have been fine. Rishi in the Facebook group said, the fuck am I watching? If I wanted a shit sandwich on a Saturday night, I would have ordered one. Michael said, Panthers minus Cleary equals tier four. Ouch. Jason said, now this is the Broncos I'm used to and have come to accept as part of my life. Shane.
I need more explanation on that. What does that
mean?
Yeah, valiant defeat or what is it?
I think, trying hard.
Yeah, right.
Trying hard. Shane said, what was more fucked, that Penrith performance or the loose unit that Appy had over? A win's a win, but looking at the sheds after the game, I can't help but think there's some tension about in that camp.
So would they say, would it be fair to say that as a playing group at the moment they are unappy?
Oh. Ba-dum, bum, ting.
Jesus. Please try the fish.
Fucking Christ.
You know, the sad thing is,
it's true.
Like, obviously, the DeBellum thing had an effect at St. George. I'm not sure. Just a good old, I bang somebody who is not my wife, has as much, it will disrupt the club as much as people may assume.
The thing that where I think it could be disruptive is in the current unique climate that we live in with the game, where they literally have the families all flying up together. So like the families will be out of their quarantine. And the wives will be getting to, and it's not like they're going retreating to their own homes. I mean, they're all going to be stuck at this one, resort or whatever, forced mingling. And it's just, if the wives get together and start bitching and, it just goes from there.
Yeah.
Where there's not that level of sort of separation, like they're all living on top of each other now for the foreseeable future. I mean, like Sydney doesn't appear to be getting any better. So this, although we've only got, two more games scheduled up here, I think, from that initial batch.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost certainly, going to go another month, you would think, yeah?
You would think so.
So, yeah. I mean, it looks like for some teams, it looks like the camp situation and being thrust together, it brings the squad together. Mm-hmm. But, for some, maybe it's the opposite. So, I don't know. Like I thought the Tigers routine was really working for until.
That's it.
Until it wasn't.
That's it. Kat said, I thought the NRL were cracking down on trainers. This is blatant on-field coaching, standing behind the play of the ball, directing the attack. Most teams do it, but this guy is the worst offender. Talking about our good mate Alfie Langer.
Alfie, yeah.
He was bad.
Look, that's so low on the priority of crackdowns now, isn't it? The shit that they've got one referee, with reducing the number of referees and then cracking down on other stuff on a, week or fortnightly basis, then, I think the trainers do what the fuck they want these days.
Yeah, true. That's it. On to the next one.
Right. Okay, the Gold Coast Titans 32 defeat the St. George Illawarra Dragons 10. At Cbus, the Titans tries to Toby Sexton on debut, Dave Fifita, Greg Marzu, and a double to Jared Wallace, almost a hat trick too. Sexton, 5 conversions and a penalty goal, perfect at the boot. Dragons 10 tries to Ben Hunt and Jordan Pereira with a conversion to Jack Bird.
David Fifita, $1 million super sub.
Yep. It was one of those games.
It really was. That strategy may work against the Dragons. And I can see the theory. Yeah, I can see the theory behind it, but in my opinion, against a better size, you want that guy. If he's going to be in that frame of mind, you want him on the field for as many minutes as he can put out productively.
Yeah.
But some of his touches were fucking outrageous. Just fucking destroying other human beings. Fifita does seem to turn up in response to criticism be that in the media, or you know, when there's rumblings, you know, certainly through his first two Origin games, etc., he cops some flack. As he matures and develops, you know, part of his challenge, I feel, in front of him is to find that weekly motivation as a professional. You look at someone like Fisher Harris, and whilst he's a different type of player, no one's, you know, he's not reading his own press or negative press to get motivation. It's what he does. He gets out there and he fucking gags amongst it. And that's where, for Fida, he's still very young, that's where he needs to get to.
Mm. Yep. I was so fucking wrong about this game. I thought the Dragons had been on an upward trajectory. That the
smashed by Manly without any turbos or Daly. I thought that upward.
Well, no, but you know, that was a definite blip, but they had been overperforming from where I thought they should be. And there was just no fight. Like, there was really no one in that side that at any stage of that game thought, well, fuck, we need to knuckle down and do, you know, ABC to get back into this game.
Mm. And like their back line defensively is like, they were just fucking apart from Sullivan.
Yeah.
Who probably saved some tries with sheer desperation. I mean, and particularly, like, you know, there's been the whole thing about, you know, Dufty's, you know, they're not going to re-sign Dufty and Ramsey's the future. Both of those guys were fucking poor.
Ramsey, like, in particular. Obviously, the game plan was to run, well, certainly for Fido, at Ramsey, and to say he didn't handle it well would be a fair understatement. But in the next couple of weeks, Dragons got Souths.
Mm-hmm.
So some of their edge guys, Sua, Matangi, they may even send Burgess out there.
Yep.
He's going to. And then the week after, they got the Raiders.
Yep.
So he's...
So Tarpano flying down.
He's not going to have a fun few weeks, Cody Ramsey, because certain parts of his game were horribly exposed in this game. And, I would imagine that other coaches are going to take notice and that's a blueprint to beat the Dragons.
Fuck, if they do, though. Like, how often do we sit there and say, fuck, this has happened. Every coach in the NRL should have seen this game or at least gotten a report of it. So we should see this happen every fucking week. And you don't see it.
Bullshit, you don't see it. Oh. Have you ever seen teams play the West Tigers? Get your winger outside Noffa and pass him the ball.
No, well, that's Noffa that comes inside. That's not the other team doing that.
Yeah, but I mean, as we saw on Saturday night, though, Dane Laurie has become like super effective at being like the Tony Carroll for Nofaluma's Lockyer, and like, I mean, I think that then you got to go, you know, a couple of layers of Inception deep, because Dane Laurie, he could sweep and mop up what Noffa and Talau leave on the table sometimes. So then you've got to go the other way in that expectation. You got to because Laurie has to camp around the other side. But,
oh God!
I will say, just to follow on, and I know we're not talking about the Tigers game, but I did make a comment last week that Noffa, when tries are scored past him or through him, is becoming a bit of a cunt and turning around and, you know, putting his arms out like, oh, to his teammates. Oh, he did it a couple of times in this game again.
That one with Tommy, where Turbo got through to Lau, because I saw the photo of him, just like, there was a photo of him giving the look.
Yeah.
With Tommy, just... with Talau's on the ground, you know, and Noffa for once wasn't the one exposed.
But just don't know that that's conducive to team harmony.
No, I can't wait to see it on the documentary, to be honest. Like, because you've got his comments. I'm really looking forward to the episode where he dumps Moses and Mbai into shit. And see how that's addressed.
There's some some footage of a video session, and he singles out James Tarmow.
And he starts it, but they don't say what he says. Really, he just sort of starts it off.
Who's that, Noffa?
No, Madge. So he, you know, he rolls the tape and stops the video session and questions. They don't show the full thing in his response.
But the way he leads it up, the way he leads up, he's sort of saying, like, you know, look, there's a reason why Jimmy's played, like, you know, however many games, you know, it's almost like he's sort of talking him up as an example of the right thing. But we know because it happened in the past. We know that Jim Tamau hasn't done anything really at the Tigers this year, so it couldn't have been something he was talking him up for. So, but they sort of cut it off, like they don't actually, you know, run through the video session of what he's actually.
So I'll be interested to see if they expand on some of that video session footage, because it would be quite interesting.
And I can understand why they wouldn't, like, just isolate a player getting roasted for a decision they made or something. But I think that, I'd be interested to see it. And the West Tigers do have final cut over all of that, all the stuff that anything that hits the screen has been approved by them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know that for a fact. So, I can't wait to see the stuff that, you know, with that in mind, I can't wait to see the stuff that makes the rest of the episodes. Have you finished the socials on that one? You haven't done the socials on that one.
We haven't done socials on that one.
Yeah, hit them.
Dean said Sloan should be playing, but you know how Griffin feels about those people. John said, watching the Dragons attempt to complete a set with their dick fingers is like watching all of those protesters from Saturday attempt to construct a coherent sentence with their dicks for brains. Hashtag Mars Barbecue. Fuck, I love that hashtag.
That is fantastic.
Devonhead, how are we still in the eight? Jacob, who is at JacobJoe39437310. Fucking popular name. Jacob Joe. So Dragons crap, Titans good, Sexton solid, NRL debut, Fifita strong, Dufty terrible. There you go.
It was a solid debut from that little bogan child, Toby Sexton. And I always love it when these kids get their debut and they got like a bunch of friends and family in the crowd, you know, going off. And the fact that he got a try under the absolute sticks and everything best as well is fucking great.
It's good.
And look, you know, he's going to have to wait his turn a little bit, because if there's one thing that the Titans, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say they're good or not, but they've got halves that he's sort of in the lineup behind, at the moment. But look, I mean, they couldn't have asked for a try and fucking, you know, six goals, 100% kicking effort. He was good for a kid. Like, you know, he seemed like he's a footballer. His head was screwed on, solid decisions. And made Ash Taylor look good.
That's it.
Finally, the Sharkies 44 defeated the Bulldogs 24 at Seabus. The Sharks 44 came through a double to Sione Katoa, spectacular somersault try too, one of them. The Moot with a try, Will Kennedy, Talakai, Toby Rudolph, Connor Tracy also with tries, Trindle 6 from 7 conversions and 2 penalty goals. The Doggies 24 tries to Luke Thompson, Jake Avarillo, Nick Meaney, Dylan Napa, and Avarillo 4 conversions from 4 attempts. What's the kickoff on this one?
I think the Sharks look like they were going to obliterate the Dogs in the first half. They had full running, all the momentum, field position, possession, and then completely fell off the boil in the second half.
Do you think it's a fitness thing?
I don't know. I think there's a part of it. I don't think the Sharks.
The fitness is an issue, like on Toby Rudolph, who is one of these, you know, enthusiastic fucking hairy cunts, you know, taking the ball up into the ball in hand, but he's the number one tackle misser in the NRL this season.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's because he's lazy or he's, you know, not fit enough. Because I haven't taken notice of when all these misses happened, but I did notice a ton of fucking misses in the second half of this game. Okay.
Having said that, his try halted what looked like a Bulldogs comeback, and the Dogs were never able to regain that level of momentum again, and it cost them, you know, the chance that they had to make a much more of a game of it. The other point I wanted to make was Sean Johnson with another soft tissue injury, which he's renowned for over the course of his career. Yeah, we all know he's headed back to the Warriors, which is as great a story as that return is, my concern is as he's, you know, as he's getting further into the tail end of his career, how much of that homecoming is going to be spent sitting on the sideline? Hamstrings are harder to come back from, you know, as we've seen multiple players over the years, harder and harder to come back from as you get to the, towards the end of your career. And he's had them throughout his career. So it's,
And the shame of it is, though, I mean, you know, Sharks fans have been lamenting his performances ever since he signed that contract to go over to the Warriors again. But this game, he played almost the entire first half.
Yeah.
And it was the best half of football he's had in a Sharks jersey maybe in his entire stint. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Sean Johnson, like you expect to see him.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And, again, maybe as a silver lining for the Sharks.
Pulled his hamstring laying on a try.
Mm.
Like... Poor cunt.
He seemed to have checked out a fair while ago. Like since he'd signed his contract or a little bit before, and the beginning of it was with the coach issue. You know, when Morris went. This may not be the worst thing in the world for the Sharks as they get used to life without him. Mm. You know, the season's essentially gone for them now.
Oh, I think they're still in there for it. I mean, the thing about the teams of that level, that win that's throwing them up into seventh. So that was they were outside the eight, I think, to start the round, and that's brought them up into the eight just by virtue of the
pack around
that good win. So they're in seventh. They've knocked the Dragons down to eighth. And that was actually that was by virtue of the games that happened on a large win for the Sharks versus a large loss for the Dragons.
Yeah.
That's turned around and reversed the for and against basically for those two sides, and that's what's got them up there. But I mean, look, they are as good a chance of finishing in the eight as I'm going to give the Tigers and the Cowboys are probably the last ones with chances down there. But at this stage, they're still two wins away from eighth place at the moment. You've got the Raiders that are just on differential. They're outside the eight. And then you go back and you've got the Titans and the Knights that are pressing as well, one game ahead of the Tigers and the Cowboys. So, look, I think the Sharks have got as good a chance as... I mean, I think this season is kind of there for them because they've got... they're going to get flogged this week against Manly, but then they've got Warriors and Newcastle, which are, not only winnable games for them, but also games against teams that are trying to pillage points off them and take their place in that, lower part of the eight. So, look, at the end of the day, I mean, Sean Johnson's gone for what, minimum couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Even if it's the lower severity, he's gone a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, they're going to have to make do without him. But it's just a shame because, like you're saying, he had checked out, but this is a game where it looked like he checked back in.
Yeah, that's it.
And was doing everything that they wanted, that they would have wanted from him, and then, bam, hammy.
Yep.
Doggies though, that Luke Thompson's a fucking good. He's like we've had discussions, I'm sure, in the past where it's like, would you take anyone from that side? I take Luke Thompson. That guy's fucking great.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he is like a legitimate superstar.
Yeah.
And I tell you, he giveth and he taketh away, though, because it was his sin binning that cost them the 12 points that they couldn't ultimately bridge, because even when they came back into the game, they couldn't kind of get within 12 and they just couldn't quite close that gap, and ultimately Sharks pulled away. But, man, he does some good things.
Yeah, he certainly does. Certainly does. On the socials for that game, Daniel said, in a team of reserve graders, Ockenpaul really stands out as totally inept. Yeah, he's had an ordinary one.
Yeah, his hands have never been the same since they touched the flesh of the youth.
Oh, fucking Jesus.
Like, his handling in this game was more atrocious than his handling after the school visit.
You try fucking catching a football with vanilla fucking...
Impulse
all over your hands. Fuck, I couldn't remember the name of it.
Fucking Impulse.
That's one of the triumphs of fucking product development. I mean, they made the bottles, they made the spray cans of the Impulse small enough that that, you know, it was many, you know, girls of a certain age. It was their first time. It was their boyfriend Impulse. Yeah.
Cairns of Impulse has taken more hymens than R. Kelly. And probably been peed on more.
Oh, how did we get here?
You say R. Kelly and Ockenbore combined.
Andrew. So the Warriors, they've just been given a reminder of why they let Johnson go in the first place. Yeah, that's not a bad one. Terry. So the Dogs have come up with a few what is their position players in the last few years, but none more so than Jake Averillo. Burton comes with the same vibe, so I think Lachlan Lowles needs to stay as he's the only identifiable half they have. As to why the Dogs lost today, look to the season as a whole. The Dogs always concede the first and most often the second try. Hopefully Ben Barber's cousin keeps improving and doesn't have the same issues. Do we really think Matty Burton's less of a half than Lachlan Lewis?
I think you get Matt Burton to identify as a half by playing him in the fucking halves regularly.
Look, I thought it was more that they wanted they wanted Lachie Lewis to be the partner for Burton.
Yeah, okay.
And Averillo fucking, you know, probably in the centres where he belongs, he'd be a centre, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Not half, that's for sure.
That's it. Matthew said, at least Thompson is finally starting to look like his Super League highlights. Yeah, this was a better game. Terry said, I don't know where GT_Johns is, but fuck, I hate losing to those peptide-munching Freedom Rally fuckwits.
I saw his tweets and he was just going off throughout the entire game.
He was. And he got his COVID shot today. So good on you for finally joining the ranks of fucking injecting pieces of shit. So enjoy that peptide running through you, killing the vid. And bigger Rod. So the biggest win for the Sharks today was the Finucane announcement. When you're trying to change a shit culture, guys like Finney, the opposite of a cultural cancers, Sharks have been signing, he's a cultural chemo.
Chemo, I like it.
You might sit there and wonder why he's got such a hard-on for Dale. The clue is in his handle. So Dale Finucane.
Bega?
I think he was Pambula. Or one of the other fucking ambular places that are down there. It's like they just got one fucking suffix and changed three letters at the front and all of a sudden they had 19 suburbs. But no, Dale Finucane's local to Bega. So homegrown boy, and they're just trying to silver lining the fact that he's now a white supremacist. So well done. That's us.
That's it for the round. Yes, that's full time for episode 419. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. And you can grab all our links, our social communities, our Patreon, of course, patreon.com/TwillNation. Best way to support the show, jump in there. Number of tiers that you can join, extra episodes, merch about to go out this month for people who have been there since the start on some of the higher tiers, and much more. Have I got any patrons to give shout-outs for this week? I do. Darren, with an I. Thank you, sir. And John as well. Thank you guys for your support. Couldn't do it without you.
Is it Darren or Darin, as in like Mandarin?
Well, there's two R's, so I would say it looks exactly like Darren, except it's IN.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So the Mandarin, thank you for your support, sir. Please use your 10 rings to get us to the top of the podcasting charts. That's it, fellas. You got anything you want to close with?
No. Look, I did. We were going to talk about the tiers this week. Everyone's given us some great ideas with the tiers, but we'll leave that for the Wednesday show.
Yeah. Hey, we have to announce a winner for the the weed whacker.
Yes, I do have that. I have a list of all of our Insta followers, and I just have to get a random number generator to pick which one it's going to be. So we'll do that Wednesday night as well.
Yeah, Wednesday, because let me tell you, I've got, you know, I've received another one in the mail on Friday or yesterday, and so I've got like two more to give away. So we can figure out how you want to give those away, but
tell you what,
Manscaped done come through.
That 4.0.
Tell you what, the technology is leveled up. Yeah. We'll be talking about that. We will be talking about that on Wednesday.
Fuck yes.
Right.
Nice.
On that note, boys, talk to you on Wednesday.
I'm taking my silky smooth legs off to bed.
Your beard looks very uniform as well.
It does.
Surprisingly.
Guess which one I did first.
All right. Talk to you then, boys.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.